You know, it's interesting, a survey was done recently to see which characters of the Advent account most people identified with. And how many of you think maybe it was Mary or Joseph, the wise guys, anyone for King Herod? Not surprisingly, the shepherds came out on top by far. Several years ago, I was in a Christmas play, and they appointed me to play King Herod. And I was in these big robes, and I had makeup and a big crown. And I was really nasty. Like it was really a terrible role to play, and it didn't really suit my countenance, right? I kind of came off as a really mean drunk. That's just the kind of way it looked. And when I watched the video later, thank goodness it was before the internet, so it didn't go viral on YouTube. But it was on VHS, and we watched it, and I just sat with my face in my hands because it was awful. But the shepherds had a blast. I mean, I wanted to be a shepherd. Like the shepherds, you know, four or five guys from the church got to dress up in their bathrobe, and they got to grow their beard, and they got to, you know, crack jokes, and they were just kind of hanging out, and they got the light, happy, joyful experience in the Christmas play, but not me. I got to play Herod. But in my heart, I think I resonated more with the shepherds. And it amazed me as I was reading through this scripture again, just this remarkable reality that when God chose to announce the birth of his son, which was historic, amazing, the greatest news of all, he chose to announce it to shepherds. To shepherds. I mean, how does that make any sense at all in the world that we live in? Luke chapter 2, verse 8 doesn't tell us much about who they were, other than the fact that they were just simply shepherds. There were no adjectives to describe them. It just says there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. You know, throughout the course of history, in the history of Israel, shepherding was a noble profession. Abel was the first one to have this job, and he was followed by Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Moses, and of course, David. God calls himself a shepherd, and we're compared to sheep, which is anything but a compliment, if you know sheep. But by the time we come to the first century, shepherding has lost its luster. Shepherds made up the lowest class of people, coming in just ahead of the lepers. In fact, in the Talmud, which is a collection of interpretations and insight from the rabbis, we read these words, "No help is to be given to the heathen or shepherds." In order to understand how unusual it was to have the angels appear to these lowly shepherds, consider these facts about them. First of all, they were considered ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of their work, they were unable to attend any religious services. They were isolated and forgotten because their flocks needed to move around to find new grass and fresh water. They never stayed in one place for long. Shepherds were treated with contempt and mistrust. They were suspected of stealing from others and would often confuse thine with mine. Their testimony was never allowed in court because they were so unreliable. And shepherds were known to be brash and bold. Living out in the fields away from society made them unappealing to most people. Most of them used salty language and were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. Yet God entrusted the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of outcast shepherds. But if you're familiar with Scripture, this is not so unusual. God has always sided with the forgotten, with the despised, with the lowly. From the very beginning of time, of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who were the least of these, In Matthew chapter 9, we read, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, for I have come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners. In Luke chapter 4, which we're going to come back to in a moment, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives and the oppressed. So maybe the shepherds shouldn't be such a surprise to us. Jesus reached out to people like Zacchaeus and Levi, prostitutes, the demon-possessed, strangers, and Samaritans. Mary captured this in her song recorded in Luke chapter 1. It says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 1, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things so that no one may boast before him. It doesn't say that now there were in the same region scribes keeping watch over their scrolls. The Lord comes to the humble, to the most undeserving, to the neglected, to the marginalized, in order to show his power. And so as I read this passage again this week, I was reminded that the shepherds help us see that God has a message for people just like us. Everyone matters to God. And the only announcement of Christ's birth goes out to a bunch of uneducated outcasts. If God were making this announcement today, who would he make the announcement to? Think about that. CNN? Fox? Would he go to the White House to make the announcement? I have a feeling that he would find modern-day shepherds, those living on the margins, those who are poor, those who are destitute, those who truly need to hear good news of great joy, those who would least expect to receive a message like that. We, after Christmas, you and I will go back to our workaday world and realize that God came to bring us this message of great joy. We need to rejoice. Luke chapter 2, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They don't just wonder about what they saw, they worship him. But the phrase that jumped out to me was this, that the angel was proclaiming good news of great joy for all people. It wasn't just something that would bring them a moment of happiness. I mean, one of the things we love about Christmas are the happy times, right? I mean, I remember when I was about 10 years old, I wanted cross-country skis for Christmas, as did my brother and sister. And I was still fairly young. I was kind of on the fence as to whether Santa was real. But I was still staying up at night, kind of in the hopes that I would kind of catch him, kind of in the act. And eventually I went to bed, but kind of with one eye open. Like I just wasn't sure. And as I'm laying in bed, it's about 12:30, I think, in the morning, all of a sudden I hear this crash, bang, smash, boom, 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 boom. And I jump out of bed. It's got to be Santa. He's coming down the chimney. I know it. I jump out of bed, and I go to the top of the stairs, and at the bottom of the stairs was my father laying in a heap surrounded by cross-country skis, and he was carrying them downstairs and lost his balance, and he fell down the stairs with three pairs of cross-country skis all tangled and poles and all the gear. And the jig was up, and we realized at that moment that Santa had not brought the skis, but my dad was Santa. And sorry if I'm bursting any bubbles here today, kids, but Yeah, he wasn't real. But I was hoping for this moment of happiness. And actually, I was pretty happy with the cross-country skis. It was great. But you know what? After a couple of months, well, when the snow melted and I couldn't use the skis anymore, the happiness of the presents and the gifts kind of faded away. Could it be that this great good news of great joy is something much more than a present under a tree, more than a moment of happiness, but indeed it is good news of great joy for all people? For all people. I think the last time I was here, I had announced that I'd begun a new ministry with International Justice Mission. And IJM is the world's largest anti-trafficking, anti-slavery organization. And to be honest with you, I have seen things in the past year that I wish I could unsee. Children being bought and sold. Families being enslaved for a very small debt, forced to work in brick factories. Young boys, 7 and 8 years old, being forced to fish at Lake Volta in Ghana. You know, there are more than 50 million people in the world today that actually live as slaves. There are more slaves in the world today than at any other point in human history. And who is a slave? A slave is somebody who is being exploited. Somebody who's being exploited by somebody else with power. Somebody without power being exploited by somebody with power. It's not a new concept in our world, but 50 million people today live as actual slaves. And this message from the angels says that this is good news of great joy for all people. And that's what he meant. All people. And sometimes I think we need to read the scriptures quite literally. When the Bible talks about freedom for the oppressed, I think that means freedom for the oppressed. And that's good news if you're oppressed. It's good news if you're poor. It's good news if you're on the lower rungs of the ladder. That God didn't come to the top of the ladder, but he came with good news of great joy for all people, including those at the bottom, those that are struggling, those that are oppressed to climb their way to the top. If you go fast forward 30 years, Jesus is beginning his public ministry in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. And we're reminded that he had come to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Isaiah, hundreds of years before, had said these words. And now they were coming true in the person of Jesus. And these words were good news to the poor, good news of liberty for captives, good news of recovery of sight to the blind, good news of liberty to those who were oppressed, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. That was a jubilee year every 50 years where debts were forgiven. Jesus said, "I've come to bring good news to you, good news to all people." And he began his ministry with this good news of great joy. In the past year, I've seen people literally released from slavery. I've seen children rescued from exploitation. Just a few months ago, I was in the Philippines meeting with our IJM staff. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. And there were two social workers and two lawyers who were in our meeting. And they looked kind of tired. And we said, "What? where have you been? What's happened? And they said, at 4 o'clock this morning, we attended with local police and local law enforcement, and we conducted a raid. And we rescued four girls who had been trafficked by their mother for 3 years. We'd investigated for 6 months. We finally went to the house with the police. We knocked on the door. The mother answered the door. She realized that the jig was up. She knew she'd been caught. She peacefully surrendered. And we were able to go into that house and bring out these four precious girls. One was 6 years old. And as the six-year-old girl came out of the house, she reached up and grabbed the hand of one of our social workers. And she said, "Thank you for finding me." And this smile beamed across her face. Good news of great joy. Not just momentary happiness, but someone had been liberated from exploitation and slavery. She was filled with great joy. What would great joy look like for the people of Gaza? What would great joy look like for the people of the Ukraine and for those in Russia who have been decimated? What does great joy look like? I want us to get past kind of the happy of Christmas to experience this deep joy. You know, these angels appeared to the shepherds. It says the shepherds were terrified. I think at first glance, the shepherds didn't know if these were good angels or bad angels, because angels kind of had a bit of a reputation, and maybe the shepherds felt that they were about to be judged. Angels weren't, yet we see angels on the top of a tree wearing a white gown and pretty. But angels in biblical times were often fearful. In fact, it says that the shepherds were terrified when they saw them. They didn't know what to expect. But then the angel said, "I've come to bring good news of great joy for all people." And of course, the shepherds went just a short 5 miles to Bethlehem, and it says they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, and their lives were forever changed, and they came back from that experience filled with this joy that they couldn't contain. And it wasn't just a giddy Christmas morning happiness, it was deep joy, because God had done something amazing and remarkable, and he chose to reveal it to shepherds. I don't know how this lands with you, but when I read it, I thought about the least of these in our world that need good news of great joy. And then I realized, you know what? I need good news of great joy. I don't need a tax holiday to make me happy. Thanks, but $250? I need joy. I need deep joy. I need that deep satisfaction of knowing that God has sent his son into this world for me. And that gives me great, great joy that goes beyond circumstances. Joy and peace and hope, all these things beyond understanding to me. Maybe we're like the shepherds, or maybe we should be a little more open to understanding what God would have for us. This Advent, may we celebrate good news of great joy for all people and even for us.